Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19, titled, My God Shall Supply All Your Need. This is one of several passages in the book of Philippians that must be addressed from the standpoint of not only what is being said, but also what is not being said, simply because it is a text that is so constantly abused by modern Laodicean Christians. This has become a proof text for the word faith cults, as well as many typical evangelicals who view it as simply a supposed promise to take good care of all Christians at all times, providing them the American dream for believers specifically. A nice house, new cars, college education, health care, retirement, etc. We will see that such is not the case. It is a wonderful promise, but it is not to be abused. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19, titled, My God Shall Supply All Your Need. This is part one of two.
All right, we're in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. And we're titling this from the text, My God Shall Supply All Your Need. Boy, if we's charismatics, you guys would hear a sermon, I'll tell you what. My God shall supply all your need. Amen. But I'll just calm that down just so I don't have an asthma attack. Yeah. I don't know, that woke up some of you up. I mean, it worked. Yeah. So Paul continues with thoughts on God's provisions. If you were here last time, or if you're not here on a Sunday, you can watch it online. The live stream's online immediately, and then we put up the edited version within a week or two. But Paul continues with thoughts on God's provisions for him, for the Philippians, and for all believers. So let's read verses 14 through 19 together. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word with the help of your Holy Spirit, learning what you have for us, keeping the text in context, rightly dividing the word of truth, and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. 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 All right. In verse 14 we just read, as I said, we left off last time with that verse 13 that we talked about how it's taken out of context and used for things that it really doesn't pertain to. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you can't fly unless you're in an airplane or a helicopter or something like that. You can't leap tall buildings in a single bound. You're not going to be faster than a locomotive or a speeding bullet. Those are all things that you will not do in this lifetime anyway. There are things you can't do, but in the context of what we're reading about, we're talking about overcoming adversity that is directly related in this text to finances. And it actually has a direct application to the fact that Christians can be tightwads. And that you can be in need, and Christians sometimes will be the last people to help you. And a lot of pastors are, everybody uses the TV preachers as an excuse not to give. And then the reality is most Bible-believing fundamental pastors like moi, most of the people in this situation live paycheck to paycheck, so to speak. They don't have a lot of money. A lot of them are living houses that the people in the church wouldn't even live in if they had to. A lot of them, we've known them through the years. Thankfully, God's provided for me, so I'm not up here begging. I don't need anything. I'm doing well, so don't take it that way. But I'm just telling you the truth. Through the years, I've seen the best preachers, some of the best preachers I've known through the years, were pretty poor. And that was because of Christians who aren't following the Spirit of Christ in their giving. And when possible, we should put feet to our prayer, as the Philippians have done with Paul. They didn't just say, Paul will be praying for you. Now, if they can't do anything, let me tell you, I get notices and emails and phone calls and visits from missionaries all the time. And we can't support them. There's only so much we can do. We're supporting the Bardwells in the Ukraine, and we're supporting the inner city mission, and we're supporting from time to time other missions and works we've given money to. We have given money to the Christmas box, Joy Box, several thousand dollars a year to that. As a little church, we do pretty good. But I have to turn away all kinds of people because I'm just not going to come up here constantly badgering you to try to, meet every need of every missionary that calls me. But when we have seen a need, and if we are able, then we do more than just pray. And that's something between you and the Lord. We're going to say that over and over today. But these things are between you and the Lord. No one else should make you feel guilty. And God doesn't even push you out of guilt as much as He tries to. I believe He is compassion. And you have His Spirit in you. So He will well up in you a sense of need and compassion for that need. And then it's up to you to respond. And then it's between you and God whether you do or not. But we ought to, when we see the need and have the opportunity, put feet to our prayer. As a matter of fact, when Paul first started out in ministry, the Philippians were his only support there. In verses 15 and 16, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel," meaning when Paul first started preaching the gospel, go back to the book of Acts, beginning of verse 7, when Paul is saved, and you can read about that. "When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So these Philippian believers are a pretty good example of support of the ministry, and even beyond what other churches did, because they just kind of ignored Paul at first. And verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." So it was more than once. It was over and over, numerous times. "So as Paul traveled, the Philippians followed his ministry and sent money and other goods." And I'm going to say right now, we have a strong internet ministry. And not any of what is done on the internet is paid for by you. Unless you go online and you give. Everything you see online, and it's not like thousands of dollars a month, but it's not free. And everything, we have bbfohio.com, we have bbfohioradio.com, we have sermon audio, where all of our audio and video are uploaded, and other things going on online. And that is paid for by people who are listening online. That's paid for by the people out there. And that's the way it ought to be. That's great. That means people are responding and they want to continue to support what we're doing to reach people on that map right there, all 50 states. And on that map over there, more than 100 countries that this ministry, through that internet ministry, has been reaching people and continues to reach people. This last week, we read letters from Elizabeth in Taiwan and Carolyn in the UK. And online, I did a hillbilly holler out to Andrew up in Canada. And we hear from these people all the time. And those people and many more that remain nameless are doing what we're reading here. They appreciate the fact that they are receiving the teaching of the Word of God from this local church online, and they are responding by helping us pay those bills. It's the Bible in action. Pretty awesome. An ungiving professing Christian is an oxymoron. Now, I know that sounds like I just called you a name, but I didn't. I didn't just call you a moron. And you can have some fun with that. Remember, Glenn Beck used to do moron trivia? You could hear that as more on trivia, or you could hear it as moron trivia. And then when you listen to it, it was more on trivia. But an oxymoron, just so you know, I don't want anybody to raise your hand and say, I don't know what this means. Just learn. You might learn something this morning here. An oxymoron is not a big bull. A big dumb bull. Oxymoron. It's a rhetorical figure in which an epithet of a quite contrary signification is added to a word. And you just said, huh? It's like saying cruel kindness. There's a song. You've got to be cruel to be kind. Yeah. And what is it Elvis saying? Don't be cruel to a heart that's true. Anyway, those are oxymorons, and they make good songs and song lyrics if you're into that kind of thing. But it's the same as saying ungiving Christian. Cruel kindness. Those two words don't go together. Ungiving Christian. Two words that don't go, they don't go together. A Christian should be very giving. Very, always willing to give. You know, you may not be able to give as much as you even want to, but you always want to. You know what I'm saying? I'd love to be able to. Every time I see somebody, I saw a guy, he said, a World War II veteran. And I saw him too late, and he already paid. If I had seen him right before he'd gone up there, I could have said, you know, I want to pay this guy's. Because I've had people do that to me. Jenny, you was with me not too long ago. We're just going through the drive-thru and go out and order, and she says, the car ahead of you paid. And one of them, one time, I don't know if it was that time or the time before, they said to tell me they liked my bumper stickers. Usually people are telling me I'm number one with the wrong finger. But that time I got a free lunch out of it. That's not why I do it, but I'm not going to refuse it. To, you know? Yeah, Jim. Oh, yeah.
Who was the number 10th?
Nope. Woody Hayes used to call that paying it forward.
Right. Yeah.
See, and that's contrived.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to any of those things. I mean, there's nothing wrong. You ever heard of the, you know, there's a movement for a while urging people to do random acts of kindness.
Right.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, these days, all you have to do is hold a door open for a lady, and she's either a feminist who's going to get mad at you, or she's a good whatever, even not even Christian, just a good, decent lady. But they act shocked because men today are so rude. I see men just bumping women out of the way. They'll go in, open the door, an old lady coming right behind them, and they'll just slam the door. It's just crazy. And boys, back here in the back, if you have an opportunity to open the door for a woman, do it. Or even an elderly man, by the way. Your elders. And Johnny, you're down here. I'm not leaving you out either. You should, and a lot of it has to do with self-awareness and realizing that there are other people in the world besides you. You know, some people, that's kind of hard for them to fathom. But, you know, just opening that door. You know what will really freak people out? When you see somebody driving in the other lane and they put their blinker on and they went over, don't speed up. Just drop back just a little bit and wave them on, and then they're probably wreck. Who is that? Somebody letting me in?
This isn't a revolutionary concept.
Yes, please take notes, Stephen.
I have to point out that I believe your driving habits are heretical.
Well, let me tell you this. We like to laugh about it, but Christians, even if you don't have bumper stickers, I've heard people say, well, that's why I don't put bumper stickers on my car. That way I can drive the way I want to. When you're in the car, you're still a Christian.
Amen.
You still should go close to the speed limit. Even a cop will tell you a mile or two over, they don't expect perfection. But 80 and a 75, probably, but... Well, we appreciate you helping to pay to pave our roads, Charlie. If you're driving like that and getting... You're helping to pave our roads, I'm sure. But... It is crazy how I've known people, when they get behind the wheel of a car, they become devils.
Yes.
And yeah, and it's not anything to brag about, but when you actually get somebody killed, then you stop bragging about it. That's what happens. I go on, but I have a friend from years back who used to tailgate like crazy. And he used to, you know, act all cocky and everything when anybody said anything to him. Until he rear-ended somebody, that changed everything. Back to the idea of a giving Christian, which is not an oxymoron, a giving Christian. I want to repeat this. I think I quoted this in the last study. Jesus is quoted by Paul. It don't happen very often. Isn't that great? I love that. Let's look at what Paul said, and he quotes Jesus. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I'll put you all on the spot right now. I think a church this size, there's no reason why we shouldn't have some people going to nursing homes. Now, some of you may do that. I don't know. I have to say, I had to stop going for a little while because of my breathing issues and everything. And if you have health issues, that's understandable. But I want the people of this church right now to take note that your pastor is asking you to pray about supporting the weak, going to nursing homes, going in. Maybe if all you do is walk around and talk to some of them, you know, they'll let you do that. Picture yourself in there. Because you know what? The sad thing is, in prosperous areas, you go to the nursing home, their families throw them in there and leave them and only see them on holidays. And what a testimony it is when one of you, no relation, just walk in there and spend some time with some little old lady. And let me tell you, Jenny and I still talk about it. And we're going to do it again. We're just getting, you know, Greg to where he can go again. But some of our best memories, we talk about going to these places. And she always has to remind me of some of the names. What was it, the lady who was 100 years old, a Buckeye fan? You remember her?
Yeah.
We used to go in her, we went in her room a couple times because she couldn't come out. And we would actually sing to the group who'd come out. And the ones who couldn't come out, we'd go back into their rooms. And she was the sweetest lady. Yeah, I took my little girls when they were little. We'd take them to picture Gloria being a few years older. And that's what Mariah looked like. And the pigtails. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Old ladies would be like, oh. And then little Tori would sing, I love you, a bush you and a peck, a bush you and a peck, and a hug around your neck. And you better believe those ladies wanted their hug after they were done. And we had a lot of fun and a lot of memories. So that's just one example, just throw that out there. Supporting the weak. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There are a few things I've received through the years that I still talk about, but my best memories are times I've been giving, when I've been giving something. Verse 17, we read, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's why I didn't just ask you to give me anything. I'm not bringing this up. This doesn't even have. I didn't even mention money, but it's giving, and it's so that I desire fruit in your life now that can be rewarded when you stand before the Lord at the judgment. I would love to find out. By the way, you don't have to even tell people that you're doing things. You don't have to trumpet it. You don't have to have it put on the announcements. If you want other people to join you, you'll have to. We're not going to read your mind. But you can be doing things. I'm sure some of you have. And God is going to reward you for that. Even if you haven't done it, you start today, start tomorrow. You see a need and you meet that need. I just don't think Christians really, in like a childlike way, they don't really believe God's watching. They really don't believe God's up there observing. And trust me, folks, the Bible is true. I believe the Bible is true. And God sees everything you do. And yes, that means He sees the bad things. Confess your sins. In prayer, pray to the Lord and confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the hyper-dispensationalist just had a fit. And I don't care. Confess your sins. Make things right with you and God, fine. But then He's also aware of the good things you do. And you don't have to announce it to anybody. He sees it. What a blessing it's going to be to see some of the people you and I know who we thought didn't really do much for the Lord. And we get up there and they're being rewarded for all these things. And we're going to be happy for them. That's what Paul's saying. He wants to be happy for these people. I desire fruit, not because I desire a gift. John 15:8, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." I'll get in trouble for saying this, but it's completely biblical what I'm about to say. You can be a Christian and not be a disciple. And then there are some people who are Christians and they're disciples for a while, and then they just fall back and just float. And then something happens and they become disciples again. And people aren't careful. They don't define their terms. A disciple is someone who is actively following the Lord. You're actively following the Lord. You won't go back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see people who stayed back and just hung out and did whatever they want call themselves disciples. The people who are called disciples are the ones who followed Him. And they followed Him to observe, but also listen and be taught. And then to do. Amen. See, a disciple doesn't just listen. If you come here to church and you sit in the pew and you listen, and you walk out of here and don't do anything, it's really a waste of time. Amen. Your church attendance means nothing. If you don't come to church meetings, Bible studies, to learn, to observe, and then do. Amen. And that's what it means to be a disciple. An ungiving, professing Christian is imitating, guess who? Sodom. That's right. Let's look over in Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Right before Daniel. You have your book marked for Wednesday study. You find Daniel real easy. And go over to Ezekiel 16:49. And we'll see that the do-gooders always like to quote verse 49 and not 50. We're going to read both. But verse 49, Ezekiel 16:49 says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride." That's why the gay pride parades are so wicked.
Yep. Amen.
And it's not just the, it's not active homosexuals. Those parades are filled with people who aren't even what we call homosexuals. They're not sodomites, but they're people who support the sin and are proud of being anti-Bible. Huh? Yeah, Romans 1, 18 to 32 describes the whole process. Look at the second thing. Fullness of bread. That's America today. And abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. That means they sat around watching TV and playing video games and had time for everything except reading the Bible and except going to a nursing home and except those things. That's what helped produce Sodom. And then it says, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. There's Sodom. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And what's that produce? Wickedness. That produces wickedness. If a parent wants their children to become wicked, then that parent will just let that kid sit around and do nothing. Yeah. And you know, and it's not easy these days because all the other kids are just sitting around doing nothing. So you try to get your kids up and moving, and they're like, "Well, no one else is doing it." I'd have the kids, you know, go and do things. We'd go on Saturdays, for example, to the soccer, family soccer, and softball, I think, part of the time. And it was kind of a Saturday thing, but then we would always try to find, and I'd have them out during the summertime. I tried not to stay home, you know. We'd be out doing stuff all the time. And, of course, a good hour or two pulling weeds. That's a lot of fun. Amen? Amen? Pulling weeds and cutting the grass and picking up all the dog poop you didn't pick up the last two or three weeks. Yeah. And you know what? If you love your kids, you're going to keep them busy. Even good Christian kids, when you see the crap they get involved with, most of the time it's because they're idle. What was it? Idle mind is a devil's workshop. Is that how Grandma used to say it? What was the idle mind? Yeah, I was told idle mind is the devil's workshop. And James says that's where the sin begins. It's on the tip of your brain, yeah. So, what happened to these people who were proud, prosperous, idle, ungiving? Verse 50. And they were haughty. Don't tell me what to do. That preacher's always trying to tell us what to do. That's haughty. H-A-U, not haughty as in good looking, you know. Haughty. H-A-G-H-T-Y. Haughty. And what did they do? Committed abomination before me. See, that was the end. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we do think of the sin that basically sealed the deal, was the same-sex gay marriage, transgender, LGBTQ, and their arrogance and their haughtiness. They call themselves queer. And then if you call them that, you're a hater. LGBTQ. What's the Q stand for? Come on. Some of you act like you think you're going to get in trouble for saying it in here. That's not what the LGBTQ community means, because it's on all their stuff. Well, that's in the other ones. There's LGBTQ. Yeah, well, that's the...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.